This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
There's the direct pass. Oh, and Codger's onside here. He's got a Domi, he can square it to. It's Codger. Oh, dear me. Power Villa not in front. Codger maybe almost had too much time to think about it.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me, no need for teleportation this time, it's Dan Rogers from the villaunderground.com. Hello there.
Hello, hello, four wins on the trot. This is the norm now. Get used to it. You'll be sick to death of winning.
Who was it that said the last podcast wasn't that exciting because we were winning?
Yes. Got nothing to moan about, have we? People have even resorted to going, oh, Glenn Whelan's terrible because he intercepts and he doesn't score scissor kicks from the halfway line.
We just win now. That's all we do.
That's what we do. That's who we are.
If you don't like winning, you know, this is probably the wrong show for you. It's always been a winning show. It's just the results haven't been... haven't matched up to it. What have you been up to? How do you celebrate wins nowadays?
I don't know, frankly. I just sort of I'm lost for words, actually. The fact that I was so optimistic going into this week, thinking, well, we could be leaving this week with 9-12 points, and for it to actually have happened, it's really fantastic.
The last three games I was going at 9 points, people going, oh, I take 7 out of 9. I said, no, that's the old attitude. It's going to be 100% nowadays. Win, win, win.
Negatron alert.
Villa outside the playoff places after 11 games. A point, Redknapp. A point, Harry Redknapp.
Right, let's get on to the 3 points of the week. Four wins on the trot, as we've already mentioned. Well, if this was the Fantastic Four, the last win against Bolton would have been the thing, as it was a bit of on the ugly side. We'll talk about that in a second. just in a nutshell, in a sentence, this is Bolton's worst start since 1902. 8 defeats on the trot. Everybody expected us to steamroll through them. I kind of didn't, but we'll discuss that later on. But in a sentence, how did you feel about it?
I thought it was exactly the kind of game that Steve Bruce could and should win, and it wasn't pretty for a second, not a nanosecond, but he won the game. And other than a couple of scares, you know, they weren't interested. Bolton, well, they weren't capable actually of breaking us down
until the last few minutes. Anyway,
until that we brought on Samba
saved us, right?
His giant head.
Point number two.
Yes.
Guess who was top of the table for form in September?
Would that be Aston Villa Football Club, David?
My God, Dan, that was a mighty fine guess.
It was. What's really annoying about this thing is that both Bristol City and Norwich are also top of the table as well
for it. On the same amount of points. That's, same amount
Bristol
of...
Bristol City particularly, I mean.
Same
Norwich
record.
Rubbish at Villa Park.
Played 6, won 4, drew 2, lost 0. We have the superior goal difference, mainly down to our defence. Although, saying that, Norwich also have only conceded 1 goal in 6 games, but they've only scored 5. How did they manage?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so they must have... I can't even do the maths. They must have won every game 1-0.
Yeah, how does that even work? I'm not even sure how that works. They must have done... I think it defies maths. I mean, we said in the last pod, hey, you know, Bristol City's the one where... I think it was even after the Bolton game, I was walking away thinking, they can't have won again, and they had. And Norwich, similarly...
Because they were always, when you look at the table and you think, right, if Villa win this game, you know, who do they go above? And you always see Bristol City like one or two places above. And they're like a helium balloon. They just keep going up.
Yeah, absolutely
and
steaming.
You just can't catch them. But it actually makes our away point look much better now.
Yeah, it does actually.
Which is a bonus.
But I think this is all part of it, isn't it? That we had obviously a slow start, but now we're on a run of four wins. It's got to go of the fashion of... Exactly how we've said previously, really. How Newcastle and Brighton did, that four wins has got to become 8 and 12. And
yeah.
I think it was 15, wasn't it, in Newcastle's case, that's how you assert your dominance.
They didn't win 15 on the trot, though, did they?
No, but they were unbeaten in 15, weren't they?
Right.
Is the run, it's that. I think it almost breaks the will of teams above you, doesn't it? The teams that perhaps don't have the strength in depth or you might have to play.
I think the next four games, there's... three away games there, which are all potential banana skins, Wolves, Blues and Preston as well, because Preston, they've got the best defence in the league. I think they've only conceded 6 goals in total in all games. Mm. And they've played a lot of the kind of top boys as well, so that'll be a tough one.
Yeah, I agree.
Right, point number three, and number three being the traditional number of the left back, tweeted this earlier in the week. Ashley Young, James Milner, Fabian Delph, Joe Bennett and Endor Stevens are all playing left back now for teams higher than Villa in English leagues. I forgot that Endor Stevens plays for Sheffield United.
Well, Endor Stevens has had a quiet couple of years because he dropped down a couple of divisions and he was last at Portsmouth of League Two,
yeah.
And he transferred across to Sheffield United, and I'm not going to say there's any envy there because I think we saw enough of him at Villa, really, didn't we?
Well, yeah, it was kind of okay, but you just didn't think he was anything above average, or I mean, he was obviously a bit younger then, but
yeah. But having said that, you know, he's got. The reason I was aware even before we were discussing this here, really, is because the last couple of weeks I've caught the highlights on Channel 5, and he's contributed a couple of assists, but I've only just checked, and he's joint second in the division for assists. So
yeah,
there's a glut of players on four yeah. assists. But
this kind of came to light, though, the fact that Fabian Delph was playing left back for Manchester City. And Ashley Young now plays left back or left wing back, and James Milner also playing there. I mean, I remember watching Milner come on. I think was it before the last World Cup? England played Belarus, or it might have been the World Cup before that. I can't remember. But in one of the warm up games, they played Belarus, and Milner came on as a substitute with around 10 minutes to go, and he came on as left back, which was the first time I've ever seen him play there. And he was amazing. It was one of the best left back performances I've seen. I mean, not only from a defensive point of view, but he got the ball at the halfway line, beat about three players, slipped inside the box, got to the edge of the 6-yard, but I think he hit the post. But it would have been a goal that would have been remembered for a long time. But
yeah.
We have had problems in left backs, but they seem to sprout up once they've left the club.
Yeah, I can't say I've got. I mean, the other name you mentioned was Joe Bennett, and
he hates us.
The thing about Bennett was that.
From his tweet, when Cardiff beat Villa 3-0 at the start of the season, he tweeted, "I don't think I'll enjoy a win more than that one this season."
Yeah, well, revenge is a dish best served cold, isn't it?
I think he wasn't too pleased with old Dr. Tony outing him.
Was that issue? Because he was supposed to go to Sheffield Wednesday, wasn't he, really?
That was it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that was it, yeah. He shut his move down, didn't he?
He shut his move down because I don't think Sheffield Wednesday had any money, I believe, was the main issue. The thing of Bennett was, because he sort of had a bit of a mini, and it was a mini resurgence where he appeared in the team the back end of last season, perhaps in the cup bits, or I forget now. But he was deployed in a left midfield role. And he looked far more natural. I always thought at fullback, I didn't think he was particularly good in the defensive role, but I always thought he was a very slight footballer. Not dissimilar to Amavi, really, where you think, actually, do you have that, you know, do you have that physicality about you?
To be fair to Neil Taylor, I think he's maybe better than all of those in terms of just defensively, pure defensively.
I think so, and...
Because he's 7 out of 10 rock steady, isn't he?
I think he's actually a more composed footballer. He's quite... What's that? I don't know what the comparison would be.
Composed?
It's a bit like Chesterton.
Composed, apart from in the last minute of games.
Let's talk about the red card, actually.
Later.
No, let's...
He's not composed. Sorry, what were you going to say about him anyway?
He's a fine, upstanding man. And Jeremy Simpson, the referee at the weekend, was a bloody moron. He got sent off for, I think, in part the reaction, in part reputation, off the back of the Seamus Coleman injury. And a third because I think it's so grey now how you can tackle, because there's a bit of jumping in about it, but, you know, if that happens anywhere
nasty,
else on the pitch.
No,
I don't think so, personally.
No nasty intent. Right, before we talk about the Bolton game, a big thanks, as always, to the My Old Man Said patrons. If you want to join them and help support the podcast that takes a whole day to put together, think about that, then please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on the patron link and do join and support. It's much appreciated. The rewards, I managed to snag Star Wars football related stuff from MITRE, the Star Wars MITRE football goalpost setup as well. And then this.
Oh, I want it. Screw giving it out. Give it to me.
And then for the kiddies, there's a ball that you can colour in.
Kiddies? No, I'll take that too. I'll take that.
Scribble ball. What, actual football that you colour in yourself.
Star Wars?
Yeah, like you can. There's. I think you have dark side, light side, dark side classics, like with Darth Vader and everything. Light side classics like Luke Skywalker, Yoda and all those gang. But anyway, one patron will be getting all of it together. Yeah, I should have given it. If they gave me more than one, I'd have given one to you, Dan.
Well, maybe I'll enter.
Well, you have to sign up to be a patron first.
Can't there be an administrative oversight?
No.
But... And the winner is... Oh my God, what a surprise!
I'm also doing a competition for a match day official ball, MITRE ball, which we've already given away one for a patron, and then we did a competition as well. Anyway, please do go to myoldmansaid.com and click on patron and get the details there.
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony. September 28th. I've agreed with Google's firm culture of radical candor since I started operating company. Always good to listen to different voices. October 1st. Into my birth month. Need to keep momentum. Hashtag October Wish. October 2nd. I believe football will be evolving with more dramatic changes following years. People not into all these changes won't be surviving long. October 3rd. Full moon. Ah! Full feelings. Oh. Best wishes to all villains of the Global Villa family. Enjoying the mid-autumn festival. Nearby gum. Hashtag OTV.
Right, the game, Bolton. As we've alluded to, it was a bit scrappy. Phil Parkinson, the mighty man who defeated Paul Lambert when he was the manager of Bradford in the League Cup.
Over two legs. How he didn't get sacked after that, I will never know.
Well, Lambert should have been shot after that. I mean, I completely forgot that he was the manager of Bradford. I was reading something about him. He was talking about Villa and he said, oh, former Bradford City boss who managed to beat Villa. I was like, oh, no. I've put that game out of my fucking mind.
Criminal.
One of the best experiences of being a Villa fan was being on the Holt End watching Villa beat Tranmere in that dramatic 1994 League Cup semi-final. One of the worst ones was watching that pile of dross.
Dreadful, wasn't it? Yeah.
And it was the same, 3-1 down against a team in a lower division, but I mean, they were clueless, put it that way.
Yeah.
Let's not linger on the Holt. No, let's move on. But he knew exactly how Villa were going to play.
Mm.
And he set up accordingly. I mean, they brought Cole Henry in as a... He was a free agent, I think, after his last club was QPR.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get when you play against him. He's just going to be running around in kind of defensive midfield area, just, you know, tackling anything that moves. And I thought they were, you know, they were tight. They hunted in packs. They closed Villa down very quickly. And Villa didn't really up the tempo or try to stretch them or even, you know, try to dribble at them or make something happen or try to get them out of shape. And it was frustrating for a long while.
It was an ugly game of football. I think there was the other factor about the game was that the weather conditions were absolutely atrocious as well. That, you know, the rain got heavier and heavier and heavier, particularly through the first half into the second. No excuse really, but what it meant was that you could, you know, if you put the ball in the air, it was swirling around, and if you passed it along the ground, it wasn't travelling true either. And I do think as well that the Bolton had come off the back of, what was it, 7-8 straight defeats?
This was their 8th.
A ridiculously bad run, you know, and I think out of those games, was it more than 6 of them they conceded more than 2 goals? And it was a very much a shut up shop type feel to it for me, where, you know, there were big lads at the back, weren't they? And Wita was probably the name who I'd remember as being uncompromising, and he was still that sort of player. And I think we really struggled with that. I think Hourihane really struggled to impose himself on the game. Whelan, who was guilty of working tirelessly hard to get the ball, only to then pass it straight back to a Bolton player on a number of occasions. So there were frustrations like that. I thought Snodgrass was excellent, and, you know, that was the kind of game where I thought, wow, he's, you know, he's really rolling his sleeves up here despite all that. And as I said at the beginning of this podcast, this was the game where I thought, you know what, if you want a manager to win you this match in an uncompromising, ugly fashion, this is the guy. Because as soon as we got the goal, you know, I think we should have built on it, but as soon as Bruce realised we weren't going to build on that, and at about 70 minutes, the shutters came down, and, you know, we might as well have gone home.
We need a nickname for those shutters, I think.
Yes.
Bruce out.
The Bruce keep outs, yeah. We showed no imagination after that point, I don't think.
Let's talk about imagination, but let's talk about the key moments. That I've pinned my colours to the masts from the off. I mean, like, literally seconds after it happened, when Codger, instead of just passing a simple square ball, open goal for Adoma, there's no doubt about that, he's not going to miss from there, decided with the outside of his foot to try to put it in the top-hand corner. When he had the keeper breathing down his throat, it was almost impossible to get it round the keeper unless you nutmegged him or something.
Well, here's my take on that, because obviously it was a great ball through and he was in on goal, bearing down, and it felt like minutes in which he could have squared the ball to Adoma, who's obviously screaming, waving and thinking, surely sooner rather than later this ball's going to come across. Personally, I think that if the last type of shot that Codger should have took on was the one he chose to do.
And Adoma was just getting ready for another handstand.
Adoma was already on his head in front of the halt end. I mean, the one, there's two bits, and I'll be very, very quick on this, is it was so reminiscent of Adoma's position against Bolton, was so reminiscent against the positions early last season that McCormack was in. It was alarming. Now, I think if we hadn't got that penalty a few minutes later and that game had gone out to be a 0-0, wouldn't that have been so much like last season? Yes.
That papered over the cracks. If he didn't score that penalty straight after, he would have had a bit of...
Well, that game would have been 0-0 because it was dreadful conditions. It was a dreadful game. Bolton were just entrenched. Do you want me to tell you what the difference was, in my view? John Terry, as soon as that ball was saved by the goalkeeper, John Terry ran the length of the pitch, told Codger probably exactly what it was, and then in the next breath, absolutely bollocked Adoma as well for not doing the same thing.
What, for not bollocking Codger?
Yeah, both. I think perhaps not in short, you know... Probably expecting Adoma to 2-foot Codger and knock it at himself, you know, sooner than wait for it. But within 2 minutes, as you say, we get the penalty through... How do we want to pitch this? Was that a dive? Convenient place, time and place? I mean, how do we want to...
I think the term that you use in these situations is played for it.
Played for it. Okay, we'll go with that. But he coolly dispatched the penalty, which was great. But I do agree with you. If that scenario hadn't played out...
Just give me a bit more authority. You agree with me and John Terry on this?
I absolutely agree with John Terry. One, because he's harder than me. And two, I'm scared that he'll come and take my wife off me. And I never agree with you. as long as I shall live. But I just thought, as soon as he didn't square the ball, I thought, oh God, this is last season. This is because I think we'd all thought, and because of what we've seen, Codger had been more of a team player, inverted commas. That was a scary moment.
People go, oh, it's better to have a striker that goes for it, you know, because that shows he's confident. Well, no. I mean, the statistics last season, he scored 19 goals, yep. But that's the only goals that we actually scored as a team. If you look at his assists, one assist, which kind of shows you everything. I mean, if Codger's got about 10 assists, I think he's going to score maybe 20-odd goals, but Villa are going to score a lot more goals as well, because that just shows you Villa are playing, when they attack, they're attacking as a team. All those games where we were like, we relied on one moment of brilliance, that's because we could have been 2 or 3 nil up if he actually played his own men in or helped build up other attacks.
Yeah, well, I think we all love the moments of brilliance, and I think what we mustn't get confused is that having a greedy striker is a great thing when you're already winning or when... you know, they're sniffing at half chances. But you also need an intelligent striker. So everyone in the ground expected Codger to square that.
Yeah. You've got to ask the bigger questions. Why has no Premier League team picked him up? I mean, he was scoring almost 20 goals a season for Bristol City. Mm. So it's an obvious purchase there. Mm. And then after he scored him for Villa and Villa stayed in the Championship, still no team came along and said, look, we'll double what you paid and we'll take him off your hands.
Listen, I think he's an asset.
At this level, but they, you know, Premier League teams, etc., you know, higher level, they know what he is.
Well, I mean, that's an interesting point to pick up because it's an anecdote, but it's relevant here. See, my view, now, is that if we got promoted, I think Codger would be a okay striker in the Premier League. My dad would say to me, he's great at this level, Premier League. Nah, not a chance. Now, and I wonder whether if you took a cross-section of Villa fans, I think it's easy to get rose-tinted, and maybe I am to a degree that I see I like Codger as a player, and I think that he's got a trick in him, and I think he's got a, not necessarily a worldie, but he's got a goal in him that you think, oh, didn't see that coming, you know.
Yeah.
But I do think he's, because he was actually, take Bolton as the game, he was very ineffective whilst he was on the pitch as well for most of that game. Because, again, Keenan Davis was the standout player, and granted the physicality and the type of game it was perhaps lent itself to more towards a player like him. But I wonder whether, when we're having the conversation about why haven't a West Brom or why haven't a Bournemouth took a chance on him?
I mean, you just go back to Bristol City, when he scored those goals, they were finishing in the lower half as well. So he does take away from the team, and you know, I'm not going to knock him totally, because I think if he can play with the other players, then he is an asset, because he has, you know, he can score.
It's just a frustration, isn't it? Because you can see what the flaw is in his game.
And these are like obvious passes, like elementary passes. I mean, like, that was a definite goal and he missed. That's just an example of what can happen. You know, he's seen as this king and all this kind of bullshit. That's not proper football knowledge, fans. King. That's just Villa official Twitter, which is run by marketing bods that don't, you know, they know fuck all.
Well, I mean, kings lift European cups, don't they? I mean, that's we're a million miles from that. Step one on the road to becoming a king at Villa Park is that you get promoted and that you play as part of that as a team, and that you contribute your bit. And I think Codger is a dangerous predatory striker who does strike fear into teams. I do believe that. But I do think as well, if you're a Phil Parkinson or whoever, because I do think they did their homework on Codger.
Yeah, they know how to
see. You shut him down, don't you? And he didn't like the physical.
Yeah.
And he was out thought for the vast majority of the game.
If you look at Messi, here's somebody who scores a load of goals, but he picks a pass and he gets the ball back. I mean, for example, Codger could try that shot on his own, or he could play it to a player who then plays it back to him, and he's in a better position. So it's not a case of him taking the shot and scoring or not scoring, and that's it. There's a chance that if he passes it, he's going to get it back, or will develop that he gets to score even more goals. And this is the frustrating thing. I mean, he's obviously a cut above most players because he can score, and he can score from nothing. But Benteke, for example, he would play players in and he would contribute. But this guy, I mean, one assist in a whole season is, as a forward player, it's not that great. And it kind of shows you the true story. Absolutely. So hopefully he'll get a proper bollocking. I mean, that's what that penalty after, it kind of masked it a little bit and took the focus away from it.
Mm. Yeah, I think so. Let's talk about blithering idiots. Let's talk about Jeremy Simpson, the referee. And in brief, because we don't need to dwell on how hopeless a performance, but the reason for mentioning it is it will stick in my mind as one of the most inept refereeing displays. Non-discriminatory either. He was as bad for Bolton. But some of the most incomprehensible refereeing for an hour and a half you're ever likely to see. That sums it up, so we can move on.
It's almost... Yeah, I was going to say, it's like almost an old story, the level of the championship refereeing. When that game started, I think, was it Whelan that got booked kind of early doors?
He got a lot of stick off the back of this, and he didn't have a good game. And I don't... It's a bit like the Bruce thing. I don't want to sound like I'm defending.
He got the sponsors man of the match.
Did I notice that you... Yeah. God bless those two fans that picked. Yeah, he got booked on 11 minutes for, you know, a foul, basically. But there was persistent fouling from Bolton, well, particularly with the one guy. I forget who it was now.
Yeah. They were playing tough. I mean, I don't know if it was anything above and beyond. I mean, we're not a bunch of pansies,
the fact that I think it was more the fact that Whelan got booked and then... I mean, I prefer the game played a bit more traditionally anyway. And, you know, my view is probably not dissimilar to yours, really, that let some of the early tackles go. And you have the referee should gauge the game. This guy was just everything from overruling his linesman and to...
I mean, a lot of fans expected... Well, if you're judging social media talk, they expected just to turn up at Villa Park and roll these guys over 4 or 5 nil, 6 nil even. But as soon as that yellow card happened, Whelan's yellow card, I thought, not going to be one of these games where we're going to go down to 10 men against a team that we should have beaten and we're going to be lucky to get away, you know, with a point.
He couldn't put a foot in, could he, then?
If Whelan does get blown up for a second foul and he's off, then suddenly that will give Bolton an extra spring in their step, and suddenly we're in a bit of doodah. And this is the problem at this level, is the referees, unless you control a game and win it, you know, outright, which we're struggling to do, especially at home. I mean, away we've managed to find the net, then, you know, we might be scraping. So I think it's in Bruce's interest to find a team or find a way of playing where we do control and we do beat teams a little bit easier than we have been doing at Villa Park, because you don't want to be held to ransom for anything like dodgy
referees.
No,
it shouldn't be an excuse. I think, it's the last thing I really want to bring up, because it's not an interesting subject, but I, like many others, were staring from the Holt End or whatever part of the ground people were in, and you're just thinking, the referee shouldn't impact upon the game. You know, they're there to officiate it. It's obvious, it's what everyone knows. And this guy had such an impact over the 90 minutes that you just think, well, what? This should be the sandpit, surely, for referees to develop and become Premier League referees, Euro referees, whatever. Yeah. He's the worst, but in amongst many dubious refereeing decisions that we've seen this season, he was a concentrated example of how the game doesn't need to be officiated.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Yeah, well, with two local derbies or way derbies coming up against Wolves and Birmingham, I think the spotlight on refereeing will come under fresh scrutiny there, hopefully not in a bad way. What more can we say about this Bolton game? Can you imagine if this podcast had been a few years ago when we're in the Premier League and we're, I think the last time we beat Bolton was 5-1 at Villa Park. I've actually got that teleport gun from the last episode. I think it's still got enough power to use once again. Let's give it a whirl just to liven the show up a bit.
Milner. Carew is the target to get his head to it. Saved by Escalante. And fired home by Ashley Young. Breakthrough for Aston Villa in the fifth minute. John Carew gets the better of Cahill. It's Igbenla Hall. Aston Villa's headline act, Gabriel Igbenla Hall strikes again. his seventh of the season. There's Gary Cahill. Oh, it's off the post and swept in. Bolton Wanderers are back in this right on half-time. John Carew. It's a lovely turn from John Carew. Still going, Carew! Fantastic strength.
Ball played into the box. That night gets far too tight. Carew rolls in and then through the legs of Cahill.
Richard Dunn has stayed back this time. Quayle's gone forward. Ashley Young with the delivery. John Carew was waiting. And the appeal is for a penalty. It's been given. It's James Milner saved by Oscar Linen. And off the post from Sidwell. And struck home by James Milner. They got there in the end. It's game over. On this cross, Quayle with a flick. It's fine. Carlos Quayle with his first goal for Aston Villa.
Welcome to the Proud History Bright Future podcast. I'm David Michael from proudhistorybrightfuture.com, and joining me is Dan Rogers from
The False Narrative.
Welcome, Dan. What a win. What a win. Aston Villa 5, Bolton 1.
It was never in doubt. I mean, to be honest.
Yeah, but we've had a bit of a sticky patch. We hadn't won since we beat Chelsea at home in the middle of October, so it was long, long overdue, and we were starting to slip. I mean, we're back in fifth place now, 1 point off Tottenham, who were at fourth. We're only 6 points off Chelsea, who we beat in October.
Yeah, but 38,000 people were there to see Gabby score. You know, he's well on his way. I mean, I thought he'd score 300-500 goals.
Well, what are you trying to tell me? He's in decline now?
No, I'm saying he's going to really ramp it up. Why would you even imagine he'd be in decline? That there's nothing about his form, his pedigree, and what he's shown today that suggests that he's not going to go on to become.
Well, no, I think O'Neill started using him as a solo man up front. Now he's got Carew alongside him. I think that's going to only help his goal scoring ratio per match now, anyway. Speaking of Carew, man of the match for me, anyway. What do you think?
He made that night and that amateur Gary Cahill look absolutely useless, didn't he? I mean, he was that goal where he scuffs it.
Yeah, he managed to score while trying to trip up at the same time. I mean, it was an amazing effort, and for him just to stay on his feet after he tripped himself up was pretty good. After Carew's showing today, do you forgive him for that little lap dancing trip on the eve of the Ajax game?
Yeah, I mean, he's entitled to his extracurricular, and there's a reason he's bigger than me and you, so it's fine by me.
Cahill, I'm glad we got rid of him in the end. I mean, five million. Thank you very much, Bolton.
I mean, I can't see him winning anything. I mean, Bolton, they'll probably end up having to send him to Warsaw or somewhere like that.
So what do you think about O'Neill now? We're back, as I said, back into fifth. We're above Manchester City, above Liverpool. I can't see. I mean, I don't fancy Liverpool's chances, but I can't see anybody out of the top six challenging. But after finishing disappointingly sixth the last couple of seasons, O'Neill, I mean, this is a real chance for O'Neill to finally get into the Champions League. I mean, I can't see him walking away from this job now until he's cracked the top four for Randy, and I think it's got to be this season or next.
Oh, this is it now for O'Neill. I think this is he'll be our Wenger, our Ferguson. You know, he'll be our long-term manager who, I mean, it's clear he will bring back the glory days that. But a couple of seasons of finishing sixth, but the ascendancy.
That's just a foundation, isn't it? Because, you know, you need a couple of seasons to turn something around, and he's done that.
What we know is that Lerner has backed him in the transfer windows. There's a big summer ahead of us. I'm sure he'll be backed again, because what we need more Habib Bayes. We need more Nicky Shorys.
I think if we get Darren Bent in the January window, I think that would be the missing piece. I think now, why wait until Darren Bent's, like, you know, another year older, and he's just not going to cut it?
No, you forget yourself. What you need is a Harewood and Heskey combo.
Oh,
that's what you need.
Yeah, actually, that might work. That's kind of interesting. I like.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're coming round to my way. Why do you want to outlay money on Darren Bent, a proven goal scorer at this stage? Why not just wait until he's on the wane and then buy him for twice the price? I mean, that's what some other club would do.
Yeah, no, you're right. Villa never fall into those traps. That's what I like about Villa. We would never end up buying somebody like a mercenary, like, you know, what's that guy at Wigan, Charles Nzogbia? We'd never buy somebody like him, or Stephen Ireland, or... I mean, I'm not totally convinced with Dunn and Collins in terms of breaking the top four. I know Chelsea are top at the moment, but I'm only dreaming. I mean, John Terry's never going to come to Villa, is he? That's just like... I think if he was in our team and we had like a Gerrard in midfielder and then a proper 20 goals a season striker, I think we'd be nailed on for Champions League at least. But Terry will never join us.
I mean, the fact is, do we have a need for him? Probably not.
Probably not, no. Who needs him when you've got Dunn?
And Quayle. Carlos Quayle.
Playing right back.
Came right back with his club foot.
Quayle, some slack. He did score today.
Yeah, it was a good header. I mean, I'm pretty sure he's trying to clear it, but it was a great header. Flicked header into the net.
I think the game was won when we were 3-1 up. I mean, when they pulled back at 2-1, you thought, well, you know, Bolton might get into this, but Crewe's goal pretty much finished it off. But I mean, the penalty situation was comical. I mean, Milner has his penalty saved, and then it comes straight out to Steve Sidwell, point blank range.
Oh, Steve
manages to hit the post, and then Milner gets that rebound and puts it away. But Steve Sidwell, I mean, the one image of Steve Sidwell which will always stay in my head forever is it's one that he does almost every game he plays. You'll see Steve Sidwell with his head in his hands. he's either missed a penalty, missed a rebound off a penalty from point blank range, got sent off.
I think we should sell him, because over the next few years there's not going to be very many opportunities for him to hold his head in his hands, is there? Let's be honest, because the only way is up from this point of view. And you saw it today. There was a quality manager like Gary Megson in the opposing dugout. We weren't fazed, were we?
5-1. What more can I say? And just before we go on to the ad break of Proud History, Bright Future, just one final thing about New Street Station. I mean, I almost missed the game again. I mean, that place is a total dump. I mean, they really should do it up. Wholesales change. Get an architect in. Build it big. I don't know, call it some stupid name like the Grand Central Station or something. Make it look futuristic, have reflective mirrors and all that kind of jazz.
Well, what Birmingham needs, because we haven't got a shopping centre, is another shopping centre. And to be honest, I'd go if there was a John Lewis or a tapas bar. I'd go with Carlos Square for some tapas.
They don't put money into Birmingham. Nobody's interested. We'd never get the Commonwealth Games or anything because it's exotic like that.
All I'm interested in is an easy station to transit on our way to cup finals.
That is a good point, because
thinking practically.
With Martin O'Neill, we're only going in one direction. I mean, poor old Blues with Alex McLeish. I mean,
could you imagine having him as boss? Could you just imagine?
I mean, McLeish as a Villa manager, I mean, that would be hilarious. Anyway.
It would be like appointing Bruce, wouldn't it? Fucking hell. Do you fucking imagine day? Hell would be frozen over, wouldn't it?
Thank God we got O'Neill. He's not going to go anywhere. As I said, he's not going to walk out on us until he's got Champions League places at least. Now, that would have been a podcast worth listening to.
The glory days.
Why didn't we call this podcast Proud History, Bright Future? You're not convinced yet, are you?
Isn't there some sort of advertising law against? I don't know. We'd be fucking in the courts.
We'll be able to call something a bright future, I think, after 22 games if we're in the top two firmly entrenched.
It's not in doubt.
But until then, it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.